Hey, Valley Real Life, as we continue this series, You, Me, We, I'm so excited to introduce our guest speakers, Chad and Melissa Goucher. What I love about these two is relationally, the depth of relationship that we have with one another. They have been dear friends to me and Carolina over these last several years. And when you have people in your life who love you the way these two, you truly are blessed. One of the things that you need to know about Chad, he's the lead pastor at Refinery Christian Church down in the Phoenix, Arizona area. And many of you go down there during this winter time, and maybe you'll visit or have visited his church. And so just know that God's doing a great work through these two. And I'm so excited that you get a chance to hear from them as we continue on in this series. So will you please welcome with me Chad and Melissa Goucher.
Be very, very leery of preemptive applause. Man, we are so glad to be here with you. My name is Chad. This is my wife, Melissa. We are from the Phoenix area, and we are so stoked to be here with you guys and be in the midst of this series. And it's interesting that when Dan reached out to me and said, hey, we come up, we're going to be talking about forgiveness, and we'd like for you to come up and do that. And I was like, forgiveness? Me? What? Why me? And he goes, well, not so much you, Chad. We really want Melissa because we know you're a knucklehead and she has to forgive you all the time. And so she's an expert, so we want the expert in the deal. So we want you guys to come up and do that. And then he added, he goes, we're going to be talking about from this story from the Old Testament about this prophet who marries a prostitute. So I know why Dan took the weekend off this weekend for sure. But we're glad to be here. And we, what happened? Oh, I thought I saw something fly by. Okay. I'm not nervous or anything, promise. We love this area, and we've been up here several times, and we've just fallen in love with the place. A couple things that we noticed, though, that we really like.
Yeah, the first thing is you drive like humans. In Phoenix, they don't drive like humans. They're crazy. If you're going 20 over the speed limit in Phoenix, you're getting run over, so.
You're getting dead.
Yeah,
if you don't,
that's true.
So. Yeah, you guys drive like humans, so thank you. We haven't figured out the speed limit thing yet with you guys yet. Why does the speed limit change every, like, 60 feet? We don't understand that.
That's true.
But we'll get there. So it's like we're going 70, then 30, and then 50, and then 63, and it's weird, okay? Another thing that we've noticed is that your rivers here have water in them. In Arizona, our rivers don't have water.
They do not.
And so. We're really, really glad to see that. We took pictures and sent people and like, look, this is a river. This is what it's really, it's not supposed to be full of ATVs. It actually has boats in it. It's really cool. But then there's just one more thing though. It's freezing here. It's freezing. And you guys think it's all nice. And I've been watching Dan the last couple of weeks as he's been preaching in short sleeves. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna go up there and it's gonna be nice. And it's cold here for us. And anything under 80 seems chilly for us. And anyway, but it's beautiful, and we absolutely love it here. And we're blessed to be here and be a part of a little bit of a part of what's going on here at Valley Real Life. And just know that you have a sister church in Phoenix that prays for you and cares about you and is following you and is watching you and is learning from you all the time. So keep up the good work, folks. In this series that you guys are in this relational series, talking about how relationships work, whether it be a marriage relationship, a dating relationship, a single relationship, a widowed situation, whatever it is, the topic that we're going to talk about today applies to that. And it's this idea of forgiveness. And I want to say this before we start. We don't want to make light of anything that's happened to you. And we're going to make some jokes, and we're going to laugh some today and stuff, but we're not trying to make light of anything. But we do understand that there are different levels of pain and things that each of us are dealing with. Some of us have a wound where someone stole $50 from us, and it's valid and it's real. And then some of us have wounds where we were physically, sexually abused, or we were cheated on, or... So you see, there's a scope of things, of pain in the room. So we're not trying to minimize that. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes because the Apostle Paul talks about that. And what has happened to you is real. And so we don't want you to think, well, they don't understand the depth of what's happened to me. And we do. But these principles that we're going to talk about can apply to any of these situations, no matter what the depth. Now, there may be some things that you do or don't do and take and use and not use at different times and things, but it applies to all of us no matter where we are in that. So I want to begin by telling you this story from the book of Hosea. And it's about this man named Hosea. And if you don't know, Hosea was a prophet. And a prophet was a man who was chosen by God to speak on God's behalf to the people. So basically, he had a little red phone on his desk, and God would call the red phone. Hosea would answer the phone, and then he would hang up the phone and then tell the people what God said. Because God has always talked and communicated with his people. So, I mean, you go back to Adam and Eve, he was with them in the garden. Sin came in, God had to leave because he couldn't be in the midst of sin. But then he established prophets, people who came and spoke for God, that God spoke to, and so God communicated with his people through prophets. Well, then Jesus came, God on earth. So God spoke for himself through Jesus. And then when Jesus left, when he ascended back into heaven, now we live in the time of the Holy Spirit. So God has always spoken to his people. But this story takes place in the time when he's using the prophet Hosea to speak to the nation of Israel. So Hosea is this prophet. He's a righteous man. He's a holy man. Speaks for God. And God tells Hosea to do something very unique. He tells him to marry a prostitute. And he says, in doing this, Hosea, I'm just going to paraphrase this story for you, and I would encourage you to read it. The book is very poetic, and it's a very beautiful story. Because God tells Hosea, he goes, what I'm asking you to do here is a symbol of my relationship, God's relationship, with the nation of Israel. Your relationship with this prostitute is going to be a parallel relationship between my relationship and the nation of Israel. It's going to be a mirror image. I'm going to show you what this is like. So Hosea does. He goes to the bad part of town, finds this lady. They begin a relationship. They get married. They have children through this relationship. One of the children, and so this lady, not only is she a prostitute, her name is Gomer. Ladies, if you're here and your name is Gomer, I'm sorry. I'll talk to your parents if you need to, whatever. But anyway, so here's this prostitute named Gomer, and they have three children, and God tells them what to name the children. One of them is based on the name of the nation of Israel. And then the middle child, their name literally means not loved. How would you like to be that kid when your name is not loved? And because of the situation that is worn out. Well, over the course of time, Gomer doesn't want to have anything to do with Hosea. And she goes back to prostitution. She leaves him and goes back to prostitution. So she has an affair. She leaves him. Hosea's distraught. You know, he had his friends around him. I told you, you should have never married her. What were you thinking? All the stuff. And God tells Hosea, you go and get her. You go and get her. And so he does. He goes and he finds her, and she's been beaten, and she's wounded. She owes a lot of people a lot of money. She's in the worst possible shape, near death. Hosea finds her, nurses her back to health, welcomes her back into the home. And what this does is it shows that God is in this perpetual state of forgiving his people. No matter how far we go, no matter what we do, God forgives his people. And he shows the nation of Israel this through Hosea and Gomer's relationship. So what we want to do today is we want to talk about what forgiveness is and what it's not, and then how we can do it as people. Now, I'm guessing that God's probably not going to ask you to go and marry a prostitute and do all that kind of stuff like that. But scripture's very clear, he is asking you to forgive. And it doesn't matter if it's been the $50 thing or the abuse thing that's happened on this side, forgiveness is for your benefit, not for the benefit of the one who's harmed you. But let's begin with this passage in Romans chapter 12 that the apostle Paul writes. He says this, he says, never pay back evil with more evil. So what that means right there is what was done to you, that thing that hurt you was evil. If somebody stole $50 from you, that was wrong. It was evil. If they abused, molested you, whatever, that was evil. We're acknowledging that. We're not making light of that. That's what Paul says. What was done to you was evil. But he says, don't repay that evil with more evil. Stop the cycle is what he's saying. He says, do things in such a way that everyone can see you as honorable. Do that so that you can live in peace with everyone. And so what we learn very, very quickly is that forgiveness is this spiritual act of worship. And it's part of us being in right relationship with God. So you need to hear from the expert now. And so let's talk about what forgiveness is not.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, the first thing that forgiveness is not forgetting. I can think of a time when our kids were little. We had a 1, 3, and 4-year-old at the time. And I left town for a few days for a conference. Back up a little bit. We needed a second car. So I left town for a couple of days for a conference, came back, and Chad had bought a motorcycle. With 3 babies. A motorcycle.
It was a good deal. But it cost a whole lot more than I thought.
We had intense discussion at high decibels.
We that's what we say because I'm a pastor, and this is a pastor's wife. We don't argue, okay? Please. We have intense discussions at very loud decibels, okay? That's what we don't argue.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not forgiven.
So I forgive.
Believe me, she has not forgotten.
We can laugh about it now.
Yeah.
Our kids are in their 20s now. So, but our brains aren't wired to forget. And just think about it like this. Have you ever been in a situation or somewhere where you smell something and it reminds you of something from your past? Or you hear a song and it reminds you of a situation that you were in your past, good or bad? You run into somebody that you hadn't seen in a long time and it reminds you of something from your past. You can forgive someone, but you can't necessarily forget about what's happened. It's always about the healing of the memory of the harm, but not erasing it.
Yeah, forgiving is not forgetting. They're not the same thing. And we hear it all the time. People just flippantly say, "Oh, just forgive and forget." That's not the way that works. We're not wired that way. Another thing that forgiveness is not is forgiveness is not waiting. And here's what I mean by that. Time does not heal all wounds. And as a matter of fact, there are a lot of wounds, especially these big ones over here that we talked about, that if you don't deal with, over time they get worse. And you get more bitter, and you get more angry, and you get more resentful, and you get more sad and depressed and anxious and all those things. Time doesn't heal all wounds. So you can't just wait it out. And another thing you can't do is you can't wait for the person who wronged you to apologize. Because I'm just gonna tell you, it might not be coming. We just spoke with a lady just after the last service. She said, I don't know what to do because they don't even know that they hurt me. And I'm sure there's a lot of us in them, we're like, yeah, we know. They don't even know that they hurt me. And so I have a pastor friend who shared with me recently. He said, you know, when I was a child, he had an older brother and a younger sister. And he said, when we were kids, my mom would physically beat us. He said, I've been beaten with everything from a fly swatter to a 2x4. He said, I have memories of my mom just standing above me, just smacking me as I'm down on the ground. And he said, you know, she's 83 years old right now. And he said, never once has she ever apologized. And he said, there's been a couple times in family things where we've brought it up. And he said, she just gets so mad and angry and she just says, I just did the best I could in those moments. And he said, I just realized she's not going to apologize. He said, but for my own well-being, for my own being in right relationship with God, I have to forgive her. I can't wait for her. She's 83. She's probably not going to apologize for that. She's not going to ask for my forgiveness, but I need to give it to her anyway. He said, I need the freedom of that. I need the freedom of that, of holding that over. He said, now our relationship isn't great. You know, they don't have this, oh, everything's back to normal between mom and I now because I forgave her. He said, no, we talk a couple times a year and, you know, see each other maybe once a year. That's about it. And it's sad, it's heartbreaking, but that's the relationship that it is. He says, but I have forgiven her. He didn't wait for her to apologize.
Right. The next thing that forgiveness is not, it's not just saying, I forgive you. Now, I'm going to be honest here. I've been in so many situations, especially with him, where where we've been in a discussion, you know, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, I just want to be done with this. Okay, yes, I forgive you, you know, but my actions didn't match that. And it's another adage that we hear all the time, actions speak louder than words, and it is very true when it comes to forgiveness. You have to put the action behind the actual words. And we'll talk a little bit more about how to do that in a minute.
Yeah, and if you say that flippantly, like, yeah, I forgive you, whatever, the person that you say that to, they hear that.
Yeah.
And they accept that as being real. And if you didn't really mean it and you don't respond to that, see the you've caused part of the problem there.
Yeah.
That you've caused another issue. So be careful with that. Another thing that forgiveness is not, is forgiveness is not a feeling, okay? Because most of the time, your emotions are not going to lead you to forgive someone that's hurt you. You're not just gonna wake up and say, oh my gosh, I just have this overwhelming desire to forgive this person, to let them off the hook and all that kind of stuff. It's not the way we're wired. We like to have the upper hand, don't we? We like to have the moral high ground. We like to know, some of us like to be the victim. I mean, let's just be honest. Some of us like to be a victim. And so you can't wait until you feel like forgiving. And so forgiveness, we need to understand, is a decision. It's not an emotion. Forgiveness is a decision. It's not an emotion. And that's why we can't trust our emotions in these moments. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 says this, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. See, there's this part of how our relationship with people, the horizontal that we live in, affects the vertical with God. See, they're not exclusive to each other. They're not exclusive. So we can't wait until we feel like forgiving someone. Another thing I would say is this, forgiveness is not condoning the act. When you say, I forgive you, that doesn't mean it was okay for you to steal $50 from me. When I say, I forgive you, it was okay that you abused me. That is not what that's saying at all. That is not what's saying at all. It's saying what you did hurt me, and there's a wound, and there's a pain that I have. There's some distrust now, and maybe some confusion, some bitterness, all the things. Some of those things entered into my life because of this. But I'm not gonna hold on to those things anymore. Okay, what happened to you was real. And you don't condone it and say, oh, that's okay. It's not okay for you to yell and scream at your spouse. It's not okay for you to call them names. It's not okay for you to hit your spouse. It's not, that's not good, it's not okay. But if you've done those things in the past and you've been forgiven from that and they said, I forgive you, that doesn't mean it's okay for you to do it again. Okay, so we need to understand that. You're just acknowledging, hey, this happened and it hurt me. That's what forgiveness is ultimately doing.
Yeah, another thing forgiveness is not, it doesn't make you a doormat. Forgiveness means that you don't hold that thing against the other person any longer. And it also does not mean that you give him or her anything else, them or anyone else, a license to walk all over you. Doormats have no boundaries. And so in order, when we don't set boundaries, we allow other people that disrespect of us, and we're also disrespecting ourselves. Healthy boundaries make for healthy relationships.
Yeah, you don't have to keep saying, well, you can take $50 from me every time you see me. Yeah, that's a doormat, okay? That's not the way that it works. Right. Okay, so let's talk about what forgiveness is. Talk about a few things. And that list is not exhaustive. But let's talk about a few things that forgiveness is.
Yeah. Forgiveness is releasing my hope for a better past. I'll let that sink in for a second.
We just need to kind of sit there for a second.
Your past?
Yeah.
Is your past. And you cannot change it. We say things like, why couldn't my life have been better? Why couldn't my marriage have been better? Why couldn't have blank been better? Or it should have been better.
Why did this happen to me?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Think of your life as a book. The pages that you've already had from your past are written, they're set in stone, and you cannot change those. But when forgiveness is part of your life, you can rewrite, you can write the pages of your book moving forward, and it can change so drastically. Ruminating over your past keeps our body in a state of stress. It can cause us to be anxious and depressed and physically sick. But forgiveness gives us freedom from the stressful weight or negative feelings of those past grievances, and we can actually release some of that anxiety and depression and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of the things that really plays into our relationships, is the things that have happened in our past. And I don't know if you've ever done studies on like your family of origin and all that kind of stuff and things, but what's happened to you in the past? And maybe some of you who are in dating relationships have been hurt in the past by someone. You had someone who cheated on you or abused you or whatever, and you're automatically projecting that on the next person, on the person that you're dating now, and just saying, oh, they're gonna do that too. That's not fair. That's not fair. I'm not saying it will or won't or whatever, but what happens is when we try to bring those things from the past and project them into the future, it changes everything. We gotta leave those things there. And I don't know about you, but that was just such a powerful thing for me. Just release my hope for a better past. Just, okay, it is, it's there. I can't change it, but I can dictate what my future looks like.
You mentioned a little bit here. The next thing, forgiveness is unfair.
Yeah, it's unfair.
We're not people who like to give up our rights, but God calls us to because he did first. Mm-hmm. You know, what he lived here on this earth was completely unfair. You know, how he was treated and the way he died. But he set an example that we all should follow in forgiveness. Author and psychologist Tim Clinton writes this: the hallmark of grace is forgiveness. And one aspect of forgiveness is the attitude. I'm giving up my right to retaliate and hurt you back.
Ugh. We'll get to that in a minute. Another thing that forgiveness is forgiveness is releasing the power of Jesus in my life. When God asks us and even tells us to forgive people, he's not asking us or telling us to do something that he hasn't done. Remember that story, Hosea and Gomer? He said, this is gonna be a parallel. I'm gonna go to the worst place and the worst people in the worst situations, and I'm gonna forgive them and I'm gonna bring them back. That's God's story. That's what he does. And so when he told Hosea this, he goes, this is gonna be an example for the entire nation of Israel, and we're reading about it some 4,000 years later. And it's still an example of how much God loves us. And in that story, we're Gomer. We're the ones who have gone on and on and on, and God has continually come and offered us forgiveness. And so when we say, I'm gonna release my right to retaliate, that's a tough thing. And like I said, we'll get into that in just a second, but God's just asking us to do what he's already done. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's a lot easier to serve and to believe in and to trust a God who says, I'm not asking you to do something I'm not willing to do myself. And there's just a power in that. And so God understands our limitations. He understands your hurts and your wounds. He knows how difficult it's gonna be. And some of you are sitting here like, I can't forgive. You don't know how bad it was and how difficult. He understands how difficult this whole process is. But when we say, okay, God, I'm gonna trust you to handle this, it releases the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what happens is the Holy Spirit comes into our life and it starts to fill those places where anger and bitterness and resentment and shame and all those things we're living, and now the Holy Spirit takes over those places and it changes our attitude. So how do we do this? What does it look like? How do we forgive? What does a step look like? Well, the first step is this. It's realizing that God has or is willing to forgive you. And that applies to every one of us here. whether you're in the room or whether you're watching online, some of you have chosen to follow Jesus and you've accepted Jesus and you got in the baptistry over here and you said, I want that new life. And you chose to follow Jesus and you surrender your life to him. He's given you that forgiveness. Some of you haven't done that yet, but it is available to you. And what we need to understand is that blood that Jesus shed on the cross for us, it covers all of my past sin, the sin that I will commit today, because I will, and any sin that I will commit in the future. That same blood covers all of that. And so when I realize that my sin has separated me from a good, holy, and perfect God, and he let Jesus die on the cross to bridge that gap so I could have fellowship with him, when I realize that and I internalize that, it becomes a lot easier for me to forgive people that have hurt me. When I understand the amount of forgiveness, because I don't even know how many times I've sinned. I can't even count. I've forgotten most of my sins. I've forgotten. I didn't even know I did it, probably. And yet he covered all of those things. So that's what I would encourage you to do, is realize that God is willing to forgive you if he hasn't already. And all you have to do is ask. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says this. This means that anyone who belongs in Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And I think there's probably some of us that need to extend forgiveness, but then there's some of us that also need to ask for forgiveness. And that forgiveness, maybe we need to say, God, I need you to forgive me for not forgiving. And so you receive God's forgiveness by putting your faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross for us.
Yeah, and the next step is actually to forgive. You need to be willing to get involved in the painful and difficult process of forgiveness. Then once your heart's softened, you need to actually extend forgiveness to that other person. That may not mean going to them and telling them that you forgive them, but just for your own benefit, offering that forgiveness, which may be easier said than done. It can be a difficult step because it requires vulnerability, opening up, and with the possibility of hurt, pain, or rejection. But if you're willing to put yourself out there, it's more than likely it will lead to better relationships. Maybe not with that specific person, but better relationships moving forward. Not painless relationships, but better and deeper relationships.
Yeah, deeper relationships. And another thing that we need to remember is that especially if you're married, and you know, you do something, whether it's from not doing the dishes when you're supposed to or committing adultery, you don't always forgive at the same time. Both people aren't in the same place at the same time in forgiveness. And so I'm quick to forgive. Melissa's not as quick to forgive.
I need to process.
She needs to, should I tell that story?
Go ahead.
So, I got to now, don't I? several years ago, I was a youth pastor, and you know, youth pastors, okay? I was a youth pastor, we were at a conference, and we were in San Diego, we were living in Kentucky at the time, and it was the last night of the conference. We had a flight back home early the next morning. The flight left at like 6:30, 7 a.m., and it was late at night, you know, May 10th, so at night. Melissa said, hey, I'm gonna go back to the hotel, I'm gonna go sleep, you hang out with the guys for a little longer, blah, 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 blah. So we did, we hang out with the guys for a little longer, but before you know it, it's like 4:30 in the morning. And this is before cell phones and all the stuff, you know, so yes, I'm old and whatever. But, we had cell phones back then, but they were like this big, and you carried them in a suitcase. You got to this point, and the guys, we just rationalized, well, we might as well just stay out all night, and we'll just go back to the hotel when it's time to, you know, we'll help them pack up and get ready and just go straight to the airport. So I was, you know, go bounding back in, and I get there in time and think, I'm going to be here in time, and you got to grab a quick shower and whatever, and I walk in, and Melissa's got everything packed, and she's just sitting on the bed. And so there was an intense discussion at very high decibels about where were you and all this kind of stuff. Why are you calling? Why don't you just come back? You left me in this hotel and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I wasn't thinking, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was his fault, the whole thing, you know. And so I'm like, I'm asking for, right in that moment, I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And she's like, no. And so we went to the airport. She didn't talk to me. We got to the airport. We got on the plane. And it was like six states of flying before she said anything to me.
Yeah.
And it was a long, cold trip home. But we weren't in the same place. She needed time to process that and all that.
No, that wasn't even the story I was thinking of. It has happened more than once.
That wasn't the story, okay.
Youth pastors. No, just kidding.
Yeah, more than once, okay? So anyway, you may not be at the same place at the same time when it comes to forgiveness. One of you may be quick to forgive, and one of you needs a little time to process. But when your relationship deepens, and you can understand that, and I know that now, and she knows that, and it's just the way that we have to work through this together. So you just need to make sure we understand that. So finally, I want to leave you with this kind of idea too. Is another thing that we do is we release your right to retaliate, and we've heard that said a couple of times. But we'll go back to what Paul says in Romans 12:17. Says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. But we all like that good revenge story, don't we? One of the things that just attracts me to Melissa is she will watch the John Wick movies with me. And so some of you are like, oh my gosh, you're a pastor and you watch John Wick movies. I'm just gonna be honest with you. Sometimes after a long week of pastoring people, I need to see some things blow up and people get shot, okay? I'm sorry. It's just good for my soul. It puts me back in right relationship with God. And that way I don't murder anyone like Jason talked about earlier, okay? I don't. I'll let John Wick do that for me. But we love those stories, right? They killed his dog and stole his car. Ah, kill everyone, you know? That's what we like, isn't it? We like those revenge stories. And in those stories, the hero is the one who gets revenge, right? That's so counterintuitive to Jesus. The greatest hero of all time didn't take revenge. When Satan said, why don't you just call down your 40,000 angels? Just call down legions of angels. Satan acknowledged he could do it. No, it's not what we're doing here. I'm not gonna retaliate. What does he say on the cross? Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. We have to leave retaliation and justice up to God on the other side. That's what we have to do. And we can't worry about that. We can't go on some, you know, vengeance spree or anything like that. We have to leave that to God and just trust God and trust God's word over our emotions. And one of the things I like to say about that is not forgiving someone is like being in a jail cell that you hold the key to. You've been angry at them because of what's happened. They hurt your past, and you're angry and you're bitter and you're resentful, and that's a prison that you're living in. But you hold the key to get out of that just by saying, I'm gonna forgive you. Now, I will say this. Forgiveness is a one-time deal. You say, I forgive you, and that's done. But healing from the wounds is a different thing, okay? That's a different process. And so we can't wait until we heal from the wounds to forgive. They're two separate issues. So not forgiving someone is like being in a jail cell that you hold the key to. Or what's another way that you put it?
Forgiveness is letting go of another person's throat. It's kind of John Wick style, but.
Yeah. Letting go of another person's throat. I mean, that's what it is, right? You have that and you just walk away from it.
Yeah. One of the things we talk about all the time in the Goucher household is the other side of difficult. And forgiveness goes right along with this. If you're willing to get in the trenches and forgive, that difficult season, on the other side of it, it's something beautiful.
Yeah. But we have to go through the difficult to get to the beautiful. And that beautiful, so many times, is redemption and restoration. And that restoration may not be a relationship that you have with somebody here on the horizontal, but it can be a restoration of the relationship you have with God, because you've done everything that you could here, and God acknowledges that. And that puts you in right relationship with him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says this, instead of repaying evil for evil and all that, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. We go back to that idea that either Christ has or he is very willing to forgive you. So again, we're not making light of what's happened to you in your past. And everybody here has a story and a wound, and it's a process, and it's difficult, and it's dirty, and it's hard, and it's painful. But on the other side of it, there is something beautiful. There is something beautiful, and it's freedom in Christ. So in any of your relational aspects and all that kind of stuff, just keep in mind, I've been forgiven. I need to extend forgiveness to those who have hurt me as well. Let's pray together. God, we just say thanks for the way that you show up in so many ways. You protect, you guide, you strengthen us. And right now, I just want to say thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for offering forgiveness to everyone. I don't even know how many times I've sinned. I couldn't even count them all, but you've covered them all with that one-time act on the cross. And God, I know in this room and those that are watching online, there's been some pretty horrific things that have happened to people here. And there are wounds and there are scars and they are real. But help us to understand and go to a place that only you can take us. And understanding that forgiving them doesn't mean condoning them, doesn't mean it's saying what was right. It was just saying, we're not going to retaliate anymore. We're not going to hold that over. We're going to move forward in your peace, in your comfort, and in your confidence that our futures can be better than anything that we ever hoped for or imagine when we forgive those who have wronged us. Thank you for this beautiful example of the story of Hosea and Gomer that happened some 4,000 years ago that still rings so true, how you always go to the lowest common denominator and pull us up out of the depths of a pit and welcome us home. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.